Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and we're positively in Reisterstown, beautiful Reisterstown, Maryland, Baltimore County, USA. We're at Reader's Crab House. I have the Maryland Lottery scratch-offs from Back to the Future. We're giving these away here today. Hopefully get some lucky winners. We will be on the 8th at DePasquale's in Canton in the morning, and then on the 10th at Costas in Timonium, not the Costas in Dundalk. And then we're at 1623 in Eldersburg. We're going to be all over the place before it's all over. We had a great show last week at the Y in Randallstown. I'm trying to visit with all the councilmen. I can't get Crandall out. I mean, even though I got the Heritage Fair coming to Dundalk next week. Crandall, you're ducking me, man. You're doing good things over there. We got the Heritage Fair, so I'll find him in the beer and crush garden this year. But I know most of the councilmen in the county. I've had David Marks on a whole bunch in the northeast side. I was out in White Marsh. He couldn't because he's making babies. But Izzy has been, we've been like ships in the night. I see you at Mako. You didn't have the opportunity to do it last year, and I'm like, I'm going to get out in your district. I'm going to get out in your area, and I'm here, and we're going to talk about the whole county. But you come in wearing an Expos hat, man, and I'm thinking, I love the Expos. I love the concept. I like them better when they were Montreal than in Washington. But you come at it honest. You're like, you got like a kid in Montreal, right?
Yeah, so thank you, Lester, for inviting me on. My son just graduated from Concordia University. He's a baller up there. He played for their baseball team.
What position?
He plays second, short, and catcher.
All right.
Funny story, my son is 135 pounds. Coach says, Mr. Patoka, I can't have my catcher be 135 pounds. It's embarrassing. So I have to put some weight on that.
Bring him the Readers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you got to do, man. Got to run the right place here. All right, so second district for you. Define that for the audience and define. We talked a little bit in the last segment just about 7 years and running and you doing other, a civic service. I don't know what else to call it. You know, the work you do, right? I mean, you have been a civil servant, but also you have a vocation. It's in planning, right?
Sure. Yes, Nestor. I've been doing this kind of work my whole life. In fact, when I do have 2 degrees in planning and both a bachelor's and a master's. I worked for city planning coming right out of school. Worked my way up to be chief of capital budgeting for
what
the city.
What does that mean, planning, city planning? Give me the schoolhouse rock on.
So it's a pretty wide field. You can specialize in certain areas, but it's really defining what belongs where and when. And so my expertise was budgeting. So I drafted the capital budget for Baltimore City. It's a $3 billion plus budget. What parks were getting renovated, what schools, what roads were going to be resurfaced, would we put money in the landfill, what government buildings. So I did that for a good while, and then I got recruited by Baltimore County to be chief of capital budgeting for the county. And similarly, as my role in the city was, I drafted the $3 billion plus capital budget for Baltimore County. Did that for about 5 years, and then Martin O'Malley won the mayor's race in Baltimore City in 2001, and he called me down to join his office as the first director of the mayor's office of neighborhoods. Didn't know that would be a 14-year relationship, because I went with him into the governor's office at a senior level. When the new governor came on, it was time for me to leave. Went to Lifebridge Health as their first director of community development. So I've been doing this kind of work my whole life, Nestor, and I thought I can do it in a different way as an elected official, and that's when I thought I'd run for office in 2018, won by a hefty margin of 18 points, and just trying to make sure that we can make a difference here with the quality of life in Baltimore County.
I don't want to be flippant and say, why did you win, but like, what's important here? What's important that allows you to win?
Well, I think what's important is to engage the community. Because one of the things that we can do as elected officials, we can either just be here, bide our time, make a modest salary, then run for re-election, or we can choose to make a difference while we're here. And for me, I've gotten involved in some pretty complicated pieces of legislation because I think that we shouldn't just be here and collect a paycheck, that we should try to impact change in a positive way for Baltimore County. Baltimore County has been the same way for a long, long time. We're very resistant to change, but we have to become a 21st century county and not get stuck in the last century, as I believe we have been.
Well, I talked to Nick Stewart at length about this a couple weeks ago. I talked to Julian last week, and I reached to David Marks. I've reached to Todd and some other people. I met Kathy Klossmeyer, and just the role that you all took on in regard to who the county executive would be in recent times. I don't have any scuttlebutt. I haven't spoken to Don Moeller. I haven't spoken to Johnny O. I don't know anything about the other side of that. I did speak to Julian on the air about it last week. But unique, sort of strange as a citizen to look at it and say, what codicils in 1956 allowed a couple of people to come together and anoint someone from the outside? I had Barry Williams on the show last week as well. Didn't really talk to him much about the process or any of that, but just the process. I mean, when you got into this, were you aware that that might fall to your desk? And obviously the Kevin Kamenich situation was tragic, and Don became the county executive for a very short period of time. But this is not normal, is it, that people get together and appoint people from the outside to be the top person? That's a strange sort of thing.
It is strange, and it happens. It rarely happens. And so each situation is a little different than a previous situation with County Executive Kamenich, and that was a real shocker for all of us. And for me, it was a particular shocker because, I don't know if you know this, Nestor, but Kevin and I grew up one block away from each other. We're the same age. So we knew each other as
lifers.
Kids.
Lifers,
since we were very, very young. And there was always that link with people that you know at an early age, especially as you grow older. And so it was a real shocker. Don Moeller was appointed, and I thought that was a good appointment at the time. Now Kathy Klausmeier's been appointed in different circumstances, but I think she's a good appointment as well. But it is unusual. And in terms of like what happened in 1956 and the growing the county council, and I think that's what you're alluding to. In my first term, that wasn't something that was on my radar. In my second term, I campaigned on trying to modernize the county structure, our governmental infrastructure, to be more reflective of the demographics of Baltimore County. So right now we have 7 council members, all men, 6 are white, and it's not a performance evaluation on any of the council members. Everybody won their election fair and square. But moving forward, how do we create more opportunity for women and people of color so that we can better reflect the demographics of Baltimore County? Well, we had a structure work group. They said, let's add 2 seats. The voters approved that. It's about opportunity. And so in the 2026 election, I believe there'll be the perfect storm of opportunity for women and people of color to gain elected office in Baltimore County, because there's 2 additional seats, and for the first time in Baltimore County history, public finance will be in effect, meaning that you can have assistance for every $1 you raise, you can get that multiplied by 3. And so it doesn't take an enormous amount of money to run for office. Those 2 things happening at the same time, that convergence, I think, creates this opportunity that never existed in Baltimore County's history.
Well, I'll tell you something. If you watch my documentary, the reason I'm here is I was going to run for mayor in 18 and into 20. And those 2 years of putting Baltimore Positive together in doing that was wanting to make a difference and wanting to say, I don't like my mayor's, you know, going to jail. I don't like my mayor's getting indicted. I don't like my looking out my window and seeing my city on fire. I don't like coming out to the county and hearing people poop on my city. You know what I mean? I didn't like any of that. And that got me involved. It's so funny. You said something right at the beginning. You're like, I wanted to make a difference, so I ran. And when I got with Ted Venatula, said something to me, end of his life, I remember, that's another tragedy. He lived next door. He was my neighbor downtown. We had done the show out of State Fair.
Then I know where you live.
Yeah, I lived at Harbor Court.
Yes.
And he was at 414. Yeah. And we were over at State Fair doing the show. I think Moeller was with us. And, I was talking to him just about, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And he said to me, you'll make more of a difference with your radio and your personality than you would if you got elected. He told me, you'll get more done not being elected. I mean, literally, and he wasn't saying that to me to discourage me from running. Not a guy that was a Baltimore County executive, tried to run for governor, made political mistakes that he talked about. But the notion that Hope is here owning a business, doing her part, employing young people, serving the community, feeding them, tax base, all that. I mean, we're all contributing in some way, right? But the notion that you can get more done when you're in that seat, you subscribe to that. That's why you're in the seat.
I do.
So getting things done is, you know, you see it as a, you got to be sitting in the seat in order to enact change to some degree, right? It's helpful.
Well, what I find to be rewarding is that I get to work with people who believe in their community, and they believe in their community so much so that they're willing to donate their time to act on that belief to make their community stronger. And in my district, and the Liberty Road corridor, Reisterstown Road corridor here in Reisterstown, you see that all the time. People that are willing to act on the belief that they can improve their community. And to me, when I see that, it makes me work harder. It's inspiring to my team. And I think when Don was talking about that you're making a difference, because you're good at what you do. If you're good at what you do and you have a passion for it, you will make a difference. I think we see that in Hope, in her discussion, where this restaurant is hopping. And it smells great in here, and the food is great.
We got crab cakes coming too, because it is the Maryland crab cake tour.
And she's good at what she does, and she believes in it. And so I think in any profession, whether it's in front of a microphone, whether it's at a community meeting, or whether it's at a restaurant, if you believe in this and you're going to work, you're going to put all you have into it, you will make a difference.
Well, where's the difference for you? 7 years. Give me a top five of things when you go home and the people you love, you say to them, this is what I'm the proudest of. I die tomorrow, talk about these things.
I've got a bunch of things.
I'm sure you do. But I mean, you're still actively running. We got a Baltimore County situation where there's going to be an election, and lots of people are sort of circling to say, hey, I'd like to wear that hat. Johnny O's not coming back.
Sure.
He's the congressman.
Well, let me go down the list, Nestor. So number one, I would say in January of 2023, I sponsored a bill that passed. It was a dogfight, but it did pass. It was to rid the county of plastic bag pollution. And so it was the Bring Your Own Bag Act. When I go to the grocery store now, I go to the market, I see people bringing their own bag.
My wife changed behavior. My car is right there. It's a white one right there. I have a dozen of those bags in the trunk. And, you know, every time I go in a store, I forget to take it in. Every time I forget to take it in.
You go back and get them?
No, I carry the damn ice cream out in my arms. Well, I don't buy the bag, though, because I don't need the bag.
But that's a win in itself, because
I
see that all the time, where people are carrying stuff out.
Can I tell you, I'm going to tell you a tragedy, and I've told this story maybe a handful of times on the air. 2019, before the plague, my wife and I finally made it to Hawaii. Now, I've been around the world. I mean, I've been to Tahiti, I've been, you know, South Pacific, all that. But I was in Hawaii, and I landed in Maui. And it was sort of not a bucket list thing, because I had been there a long time before when I was 50, if it had been a bucket list. But it was expensive to fly there. It was a long flight. If I'm going to go that far, I'll go to Australia or Japan, you know. But went to Hawaii, and my wife and I went out onto the very first beach. We landed in Maui, and we had been in Honolulu a couple days. But we landed in Maui, went right to the beach, and we got out on this beach. And there's nobody in Maui. I mean, Maui's like paradise, you know. The beach is a mile and a half long. I see one guy taking a nap, one other person over here out on the beach. Nobody on the beach, just us. 82 degrees and sunny. And we turn the corner and look down, there's a giant turtle. Giant turtle as big as you and me. Giant, giant turtle. Go down to the beach, and turtle's kind of napping. We thought it was dead. He's just napping, just chilling out. Just chilling out, taking a nap. And I went down onto the beach, and as I got down there, I saw stuff glistening. Glistening on the beach, colors. And I went down, and I picked up the sand, and I looked in the sand. In the sand, you can see the plastic.
Yeah.
You can see, it looks like the top little tubies on the top of the bread, the little plastic things that would get the top of the bread, broken into the smallest little green, orange, blue, pink. And it was that day that I'm standing out in the middle of the Pacific in Maui, and I see this turtle and this beach and Maui and I look down, and the sand is polluted beyond anything you could comprehend. Ocean City doesn't look that way. I'd never been anywhere in my life where I could pick up the sand and see plastic in it.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
It's a real problem. We do lots and lots of stream cleanups, and we used to pick up an enormous amount of plastic bags out of the stream. Now when we do stream cleanups, very few plastic bags. Our winter tree canopy used to be plastic bags. It no longer is plastic bags. So I feel like you asked me what are some of the things where we've made a real difference.
Well, you're proud of that. Good for you.
That's one of them. Another
one. You know, when I asked O'Malley what he was proud of, he said cleaning up the bay.
Yeah.
That was his number one thing 4 or 5 years after he was out of office. So, you know, that is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that I'm particularly proud of is the Adequate Public Facilities Act. Do you know in Baltimore County, and we're a first world nation, right? We can shove 115 students into 100 seats in a school. First world country. We're trying to provide quality education, but in Baltimore County, before my legislation, you could put 115 students in 100 seats. In the area where you grew up, in Dundalk, we have some of the high schools over there are at 150% capacity. So through my Adequate Public Facilities Ordinance legislation, you can only go up to, I wanted to get down to 100, but through compromise, it's 105, which is still not right, but we're moving the needle in the right direction. Now, in this day and age, compromise seems to be a four-letter word. However, I think compromise does move the needle in the right direction. So really proud of that one. I'm proud that we're going to grow that we're going to change the charter to have 9 council members rather than 7, so that we can move out of being parked in front of 1956 for 70 years. It's a heavy lift.
How's that going to work? Explain that to people that are not familiar with that.
So I'm going to start at the very beginning.
Sure.
In 1956, Baltimore County became a charter county, meaning we have a county executive and we have a legislative branch, 7 council members. Our population was 250,000 at that time. Fast forward almost 70 years to current times, we have 7 council members, but we now have 850,000 people. So,
by the way, I saw a stat that we're one of the 100 most populated counties in the country. I saw
that's
a stat
true.
That we're bigger than a lot of cities.
We're bigger than Wyoming.
Well, states too, yes.
Yes.
Mueller would always give me those kind of weird stats, but yes. I saw something the other day that was more along the lines of like me thinking about if there were 100 cities in the country, not just Baltimore, Baltimore County is twice the size of Baltimore City now for population.
Almost. I think the city's around over 500,000. We're at 850,000.
All right. Well, so, we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost twice.
Yeah. And so, you know, by adding these 2 council members, it's not the perfect solution, nor is there a perfect map, but we're moving the needle in the right direction. And so
that map changes out here dramatically, right?
Don't know yet. The process is still ongoing. The Redistricting Commission sent a recommendation to the council, and we're going to be deliberating on that very
Where
soon.
Where has the population grown the most in that period of time where there would be a density of population? I mean, Dundalk's probably lost some population, maybe?
Possibly.
Just because of the point and the jobs and whatnot?
I think there's been
a lot of houses down there.
A lot of growth in the on the east side in White Marsh, Perry Hall.
Sure.
Middle River.
Any place they built malls. Yeah. Owings Mills.
Yeah.
They built a light rail out. I mean, they built a subway out here.
Yeah,
right?
And while we're on the topic of malls, another piece of legislation that I'm particularly proud of is I created this mixed-use overlay district, which allows for vertical growth and vertical zoning, meaning if you have a shopping center that did well in, let's say, the 80s and 90s, and with people that shop online now, like Amazon and other outlets, those shopping centers are not as viable as they once were. And so through my mixed-use overlay, you can mix in the same space retail, office, residential, and the parking requirements would be less restrictive because parking demand is at different times for office, for residential,
sure.
For retail. So it creates an opportunity for development to occur at a shopping center that might have a big vacant grocery store or some other vacancies.
I had Mark Rembaum on for an hour
talking about
the Lutherville project there.
That's a good project. We just need to figure out how to thread the needle of getting Mark where he wants to be, the communities where they want to be. And I think that there is that opportunity. We just need to kind of have more focus on that.
Well, when I had Nick Stewart on, we were over at Red Brick Station. That's me. Yeah, it's you. Yeah, there you go. I had Nick over at Red Brick Station. You're over there. And we were looking out at the mall, just like we're looking out at Reisterstown Road right now. And I looked over and saw Sears and the mall and saw the big mall. And, you know, to a man, he, Bill Blocker, owns Red Brick. Like, that's got to be residential. That mall has to turn into where people live in order for the avenue to thrive, in order for other things to thrive. So I grew up as a mall rat at East Point Mall, right? And there's been rumors for all this century that the hospital, Hopkins, is going to, you know, be, that's in Baltimore County as well, and saying, well, what's the next thing it's going to be? Even though I think of it as Penguins in the shopping center and the mall and the poop plant and all the stuff. But that's my side of town. We just mentioned four or five, we didn't mention security, right? These incredible human projects that happened in the 70s and the 80s that dominated our lives in the 80s, 90s, and aughts, right? That now are these giant spaces, much like an old stadium. I was down at Memorial Stadium, it's a Y now, right?
Yep.
So thinking about things differently, we're at that point with these big open spaces, are we not?
Yes, absolutely. And just by the way, my wife was the project architect back at Stadium Place.
Okay.
So just plug in for Denise. She's.
Well, you're proud of all that because you're involved in the city too. So,
yeah.
You know, you got city roots.
Some of the other council members used the mixed use overlay district during the last zoning cycle to create those opportunities that we're talking about where we can mix the zoning in that same space. And like I said earlier, and like you said, and like Mark Rembaum has been speaking about with Lutherville Station, having that mixed use creates a lot of opportunity.
Well, and it also gets residents in, right? That's really, that creates community when people come together.
Yeah, literally. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you get a Reisterstown Fair here every Friday night, right? And some parties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When people, and it doesn't happen magically. There are people, and again, I'm going to go back to this thing I keep saying. There are people that believe in their community and willing to act on that belief.
Well, let's talk about the county for a couple minutes here and the election coming up and what Kathy's job is right now and you all appointed her to do. And you said you're happy with that process. As a citizen, I can't say I'm pleased with it. It's what the rules were and whatever. I think it's definitely a little bizarre. That's all. And I saw Kathy last week, and you were a part of all of that. That job and this county and the growth, what are the important things that every citizen should be concerned about for the future of the
county?
Well,
one of the things that's really important to me is doubling down on our investment on our Inner Beltway neighborhoods. We've for decades allowed our Inner Beltway communities to...
Now, that means inside the Beltway.
Inside the Beltway.
But in the county.
In the county.
In the county, inside the Beltway.
Now, I'm biased because my district runs from Charles Street to Windsor Mill Road, and I have everything inside the Beltway in those neighborhoods.
Brooks Robinson Lane's in your district.
Correct. Yeah, we've got to get the trucks to stop parking on that.
Well, I saw you doing that the other day. But that is, you know, East Towson, that's where I grew up, in Colgate, East Point. East Point's inside the Beltway, right? So I don't, this is the first time I've ever heard out loud when I think about the value of housing inside the Beltway but in the county versus outside the Beltway in the county, right? Or think about growth or schools or economics or median income, any of that. I guess it is different, right?
Yeah.
Inside the Beltway is different.
Yeah, and we don't have enough rec centers inside the Beltway. Our streets are crumbling inside the Beltway. Our pipes. So one of the improvements I had in my Lockhart community, which is inside the Beltway, was to have an additional sewer line to handle capacity north for areas north of Lockhart. And so it's just not fair that the only amenity that communities inside the Beltway get are sewer lines to serve the sewage load for communities that are...
Brandon's bringing us crab cakes.
Oh, wow.
Look at this, crab cake tour.
Brandon, you are the
man. This is a legit thing going on here. All right, so I'm going to hold you two more minutes and we're going to eat this stuff. But this is... I mean, I would break right now and just eat it, but we were in the middle of what were we discussing? I got distracted.
We were discussing Interbeltway
neighborhoods. Interbeltway neighborhoods. I got to go back to Interbeltway neighborhoods. I'm sorry. We'll get the crab cakes in a minute. It'd be an outer beltway crab cake is what we'll have. Appreciate you, brother.
The other thing I think is important just in terms of government overall is you hear people talk about data-driven information. And what made me think about it is the county has automated its process for evaluating streets, whether they need resurfacing or not. So
Perry Parkway.
Yeah, well, so there's this data-driven, there's this machine
I've
that
evaluates
streets. I've done
the data, Perry Parkway. Yeah.
Well, you're exactly right, because you need to weave community sentiment into that data. And so when you say Perry Parkway, that's community sentiment to me, because you're driving that every day.
I got potholes families can live in down there, man. We gotta work on that, man.
Yeah.
Well, so for Baltimore County and for the executive job, what is that job as you see it? And you know, I've asked Mueller about that. I haven't had Kathy on, and Johnny O, and you know, obviously Jim Smith and everybody before that, Kevin, before we lost him. That job and the significance of that job and what you all charge Kathy with doing.
Well, I think today, post-election of Donald Trump is into the White House, that job is really significant in terms of adding a level of stability at the local level. We have to be as strong as we possibly can, because we wake up each morning to a new unknown variable that's occurring at the federal level. You know, Trump wakes up and has this new idea to promote himself, and sometimes that causes a lot of
usually spillover. It's unconstitutional.
Yeah, and it can be unconstitutional, but it really impacts.
Not just
the
to
statement.
Mention lawless and insane, and yes, all of the above.
So we need to be strong at the local level, as strong as we possibly can. And so,
how do we get to the point where this guy could get elected?
It's like
the
we're
damnedest
living
thing I've ever seen in my life. Just on qualifications alone, all of it,
or character,
just honor, dignity. Bone spurs. I mean, I get down the list of all of it. But to see it in action for a second time, it was horrific the first time. This time around being, I never really thought of myself of color, but I'm the color of the people that they're putting in you know, guys are coming out of the street and throwing people who look like me, abducting people on the. I mean, this is.
It's outrageous.
It's outrageous.
My parents were both Holocaust survivors, and so to me, when you start to come after people that are different, you've crossed a line that's unacceptable. And I'm not saying that we're at that point of what my parents went through, but some of the stuff that happened as precursors of that are clearly occurring today.
Well, I want to say one thing. I've said this out loud, and I mean it with my heart. I said it on Mickey's show in my old neighborhood yesterday. I grew up Colgate East Point, right? Across from East Point Mall. Everybody knows where that is on the east mm-hmm. side. And my neighborhood was Archie Bunker's White Dundalk in 1975. I see people of African-American descent here. That wasn't even allowed. If you were black and you walked through my neighborhood in 1975, they would call the cops.
Wow. You know
what I mean, like, literally, that's how nutty my, and I speak from truth, not from my heart, but from truth. This is the way it was. And now when I go to that neighborhood, I was the only Hispanic kid that anybody knew when I was adopted. There was one Hispanic family in my neighborhood, the Flores family. They were Colombian. Father was Colombian. Mother was gringo, like my mother. But there were no Hispanic people. I mean, no. No Lopez, no Rivera. There was Aparicio and Flores, and that's in our whole elementary school for a decade. That neighborhood is now 72% Hispanic, and I know the principal of Colgate Elementary, and I they had a fair. It was a 100-year anniversary of my elementary school last year.
Wow.
It's a little schoolhouse. But we replaced it.
Johnny
O came out. Yeah. We finally, a couple years ago, Johnny O came out during the plague. We dedicated, I believe it was in 21, you know, 20 or 21. They had a fair last year, and I went out, the police and the community association. Wasn't real well attended, but everybody there was Hispanic for sure. And I said to one of the police officers that I knew who played for the Blast a billion years ago, I said, tell me about the profile of school now. I said, Hispanic, well, it used to be 56%. Now we're 72% now. I'm like, in 4 years, you went from 56. Okay, so that's the neighborhood. How many of these kids' parents speak English? Yeah. None.
Well,
they said none, like literally none. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a challenge. And now I'm thinking to myself, so I said to my son after Trump got elected, we went out to Costas for Kras back in February and March, and my son toured the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam 2 years ago. I toured it for the first time about 3 years ago, and most powerful couple hours that I can. I can't think of a couple hours more powerful than going to the Anne Frank house. It gets me emotional. Gets me shitty talking about it.
Understood.
So my son said to me at the bar at Costi's, said, my neighborhood, everybody's like Anne Frank, Dad. Everybody's got the window shades pulled down because they're Hispanic.
Wow.
That took me a minute to think, like, I'm Hispanic. They're Hispanic. What? What? In 2025, you're afraid somebody's going to knock on the door and pull you into a van in Dundalk? To your point, Baltimore County Executive Job's an important job because this is front level for this ICE stuff that's going on right now. And that's another part of the job that, quite frankly, you know, Johnny O and Don had to deal with the first time around, right? Literally.
My office has been ahead of it. We're the only council office that has outreach to Hispanic communities. Carlos Gonzalez, who's my special projects manager, is out active in the community. We go to Hispanic churches all the time, one in this neighborhood.
Iglesias
de Dios is our go-to.
Absolutely.
We try to work with the community, assure them that things that we are in their
These
corner.
Are people working and paying taxes and sending kids to school and have come here for a better life. And in the case of my people in Venezuela, they've left a oppression that is incomprehensible here.
You're 100% right.
I met a man, I want to say your age, my age, older than us, literally older than us, who was my Uber driver. I did a one-day trip to Epcot. I did a sneak away. I got a $49 flight. Want to get away? Damn right I did. It was March. It was 82 degrees. 38 Special was playing down at Epcot. So I flew down. My brother lives in Kissimmee. He's Venezuelan. Everybody that lives in Kissimmee is Venezuelan. It is a Venezuelan town, and Kissimmee, Florida is all Venezuelan. Everywhere. And my brother lives there, and he was born in Venezuela, is a citizen here, has a company, his kids are in school, his son's in college, my nephew. My niece is 12 years old in school. They own businesses in the area. And I took an Uber when I landed, and the Uber driver was a mid-60s guy. English was good, and he found that I was Venezuelan, he's Venezuelan. All three of my Uber drivers in Orlando were Venezuelan.
Wow.
It's a Venezuelan community. It is. And he looked at me. He's looking at me in the rearview mirror because we're driving and I'm in the back seat of his Uber. And he said, we were talking about politics and Venezuela and Chavez and all of those, Trump, all of that. He said to me, my friend, I am not here. We are not migrant people. I didn't come here. I was 57 years old when I came to America, my age, because I couldn't. There was nothing. I had no home, no land. Everything had been taken away from all of us. That's why I'm driving an Uber in Kissimmee and you're in the backseat of my Uber going to Disney World because I can't go home. There's no home for me to go to. There is no home. And I think there's a lot of people that voted for this criminal who just can't comprehend that. And their church isn't teaching them that. Their community. And I can't get over it, Iz. I can't. And you mentioned your Holocaust, your family. I just can't get over what people don't know about history and the ignorance. That's all.
They do not. And for some reason, the behavior of Donald Trump and behavior that would not be accepted if anyone else did what he did, they accept it for Donald Trump. You know,
that's
the way
a cult.
He speaks about women and things he's done. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend how people can cast a vote for someone who willingly says, I can walk down a New York street and do these horrendous things.
Well, it's come to my home, to Colgate, to where my son is, where my parents bought a house, who didn't believe in any of that, didn't live their lives that way. They were always, it's why I'm as integrated as I am, and some other people moved to Harford County, and I go on their Facebook page, and everyone is of the same descent on their Facebook page that I went to high school with 40 years ago. And this is how we get a divide in the country. I know you're trying to bring people what brings people together in Reisterstown?
Well, in Reisterstown, I think it's different than a lot of other communities. People are just, they have in their DNA that they're going to make their community better. I haven't seen it anywhere else in the county where it's every day, what can we do today to make our community better? And I think other communities are getting there. And what I do hear, which is really interesting, is people say, well, let's try to do what Reisterstown is doing. And so if you become the county model, then you're doing something right.
All right. What did they do right here? What's the thing that's right?
I think
communicate with each other, maybe?
That the thing that I notice about Reisterstown is that if someone has an idea on Monday, on Tuesday, everybody, there's a plan developed. On Wednesday, they're ready to implement. And on Friday, the event's happening. There's no circling around point A forever and ever and ever. And sometimes you try to make perfection from the beginning, and perfection is a process. So Reisterstown, they just move from point A to point B to point C to point complete on every community activity that they engage in.
Oh, that's a ringing endorsement. All right, yeah. Parting shot. What do you got for me here? The state of the county. You want to get after Trump? What do you want to do?
Well, I think we've got the summer months ahead, I just feel like everybody just focus on what's going on. We've got issues with the Inspector General. I don't know if you've been following that at all, but we really have to
I have followed that. I don't understand it, but yes.
There are certain things. I'm not going to get into all of that. I'll just say let's stay focused and let's try to work together as a community. And the one thing I will say that Donald Trump seems to have enabled hatred to be the norm. And I think we can step away from that and have hatred be something that we don't accept and not the norm.
I'll speak to that. We'll have a crab cake to that. How about that?
Thanks, that
Izzy Patoka, a councilman here in the 2nd District. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. I will see you at Mako in about 7 or 8
yes,
weeks.
Yes, you will.
We're going to be down in Ocean City broadcasting yet again, our 4th year at Mako. We're really looking forward to it. We have a good time down there when I'm not having beverages the night before. Yeah. I'll slow things down. I'll slow my roll a little bit. It's all-star time around here. Luke and Alan stopped by for an hour. We had a great chat. I'm about to talk to my pal Richard from Miche Pest Control. Had termites in my joints at time of the year. You know, the bugs are flying and all that. So I wanted to talk to him about, you know, coming in and making sure your home is safe and making sure your home value stays safe. They help me, so I want them to be able to help you. Also, I've got Happy Eddie coming over, Eddie Acefo from Curia Wellness and the cannabis space. Also, he is one of the cast members of The Real Housewives. He's not the housewife, he's the house husband of Potomac. But he's also a Baltimore guy and a Raven fan, so I'm looking forward to getting Happy Eddie back on the program. We are out here in beautiful Reisterstown, 2nd District. And it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Curia Wellness, and Liberty Pure. We are at Reader's Crab House. I've got the menu out here. Luke is enjoying the crab and shrimp quesadilla. And I also have a delicious crab cake here from Brendan back in the kitchen in Hope. They did it broiled for me, so it's crab cake time here. So I'm going to take a break. Izzy's here. He's gone. Rich is coming in. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in Reisterstown and Reader's. Stay with us.